May the Lord help us to commence by singing the first part of hymn 806. Christ is the friend of sinners, be that forgotten never. A wounded soul, and not a whole, becomes a true believer. To see sin smart.
read from God's holy word from the first book of Chronicles, chapter 21, and then as far as chapter 22 and verse 5. First book of Chronicles, chapter 21, commencing at verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, "Go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it." And Joab answered, "The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David. And all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword. And Judah was 70,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, "I have sinned greatly, because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and tell David, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee." So Gad came to David and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me." And David said unto Gad, "I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel. There fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed it, "It is enough, stay now thine hand." And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, "Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued." Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. And King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor burnt offerings, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. Then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight, also cedar trees in abundance. The Zidonians and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Now, may the Lord help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, do, O Lord, now help us again as we come before thee. Grant us thy favour, thy mercy and grace. O Lord, do grant us thy strengthening, we pray. O Lord, that strengthening in the inner man, in the spirit. O Lord, do grant us of thy grace and thy mercy. O Lord, do lead us into the truth as it is in Jesus. Grant that anointing of the Spirit, we pray, that the word spoken may come with power and anointing and blessing. O Lord, indeed, we beg. Help us. Oh, how we need thine appearing, for without thee we can do nothing. Oh, Lord, we need of thy grace and thy mercy. Oh, Lord, do be with us as we gather around thy word. We thank thee that thou hast granted us thy word, the word of truth, the word of life, the more sure word of prophecy, that light which shineth in a dark place. The entrances of thy words giveth light. Light in our hearts, light in our soul, light in our church. O Lord, we do pray. Grant that reviving, we beg. Do grant that building up, that adding unto the church, such as should be saved. O Lord, we do pray there may be an adding unto the congregation, a drawing of those from this neighbourhood to come and hear the word. O Lord, we do pray. Grant that there be those whose hearts and souls have been touched by the Spirit. We do plead in the precious name of Jesus that may be those who are brought, coming seeking thee earnestly, and who shall find. We pray concerning the prodigals that they might come seeking thee in repentance. O Lord, we do pray. Grant thy favour upon thy servants that preach here. Grant a building up, we pray, and an unction and anointing. And that help, that grace and favour lengthened out to our brethren, the deacons here. O Lord, to guide them and to grant them all needed grace. O Lord, we do pray, be with thee, children and young people. O Lord, that they may be favoured and blessed. To, O Lord, direct them in their schooling and their learning. Do bless them as they venture out into employment, in their relationships. Do indeed provide godly husbands and wives, we do pray. Thy blessing, indeed, may rest upon them. Those that in the coming year, if it be thy will, be married. O Lord, grant thy favour to rest upon them and their future spouses. O Lord, we do beg for thine abundant blessing. O Lord, upon the little ones and those that are unwell and sick at this time. O Lord, we do pray for thy safekeeping and preservation. Especially the babe in hospital at this time. Very ill, O Lord, we do pray that he may be given that healing and restoring, that recovery of strength, we do pray. O Lord, do uphold, especially his parents at this time of great concern, and O Lord, that they may be helped and brought through. O Lord, any other that are aged, infirm, unable to come to thy house, or those that are caring for those that are elderly or sick at this time, do be with them to favour them. O Lord, we would bring before thee our nation at this time. And O Lord, look in mercy upon our Queen and royal family, upon our Prime Minister and government. O Lord, that thou hast be pleased to show mercy unto them. Grant them a true repentance. Do, O Lord, deliver us, we pray, from that end of persecution, if it could please thee. The suppression of thy word and the preaching of thy word that there are those in authority in the nation would wish to do. But, O Lord, thou art greater than they. O Lord, we do plead in the precious name of Jesus that thou mightest deliver us and help us. O Lord, do turn back those wicked designs to suppress the testimony of the truth as it is in Jesus, according to thy word. Especially those attempts to suppress the teaching of thy word in truth to the children. O Lord, we do pray, help us, preserve us. O Lord, we do pray for those many that have been greatly afflicted, bereaved, injured, displaced from their homes in that terrible conflict going on in Syria and Iraq. And those terrible things done in other places. That name of false religion. And that violent hatred. O Lord, how we do see in thy word that when Solomon departed from the way of truth, those strange wives, and their idolatrous worship, thou didst in thy judgment permit to arise those who abhorred Israel. And so we see it in our nation and other Western nations, as we have turned away from the worship of thy name, turned unto vanities and abominations and blasphemies, have called good evil and evil good. Thus thou hast permitted to rise up those that abhor our very existence. O Lord, do open eyes to see that it is thy judgment, and these speak the need of repentance, a turning again unto thee. O Lord, we do pray, help us, we beg. O Lord, have mercy, if it could please thee, upon those who persecute, that there may even be those trophies of grace amongst the men and women of violence, and that thy word may go forth throughout this world, especially in the Middle East, that thy word, the gospel of truth, the gospel of love, the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who has shown that thou, O Lord God, art love, that the word of truth may go forth in the midst of such desperate suffering and sorrow and war. O Lord, we do pray for the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society and all others who would likewise labour in the translation of thy holy word and the publication of thy word, the distribution of thy word, the preaching of thy word. Do, O Lord, grant that supply of every need. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest raise up those to labour in this most vital work, that the word may go forth with power and blessing and unction. O Lord, we would pray for the orphans, the fatherless, the widows, those that are destitute. O Lord, do appear for their need, we do pray. And O Lord, we would be thankful for the many things that thou hast granted us here, a place to worship, many comforts naturally, and families, friends, above all thy word. Indeed, thy promise that thou art Emmanuel, God, with us. O Lord, then do grant us thy help and thy grace. Grant that that which is spoken might be profitable. Although spoken in much weakness, grant that thy word may come with power by the Spirit. We would ask, begging much mercy, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 693. Lord, let me feel the unction of thy love, to cheer my heart and set my mind above. Give me a precious glimpse of thy sweet face, and make me gladly all thy will embrace. Hymn 693.
May the Lord help us this evening in coming again to his word. And I'd particularly direct you to 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and the first verse. First book of Chronicles, chapter 22, and the first verse. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. This is the house of the Lord God." This passage, the context that we read, David, the Lord permitted that Satan should rise up and provoke, tempt David to number Israel. That David should know the number of it, the greatness of it. But this thing greatly displeased the Lord. Even ungodly Joab saw that this was a sin and sought to reprove David, but David would not listen. Yet when the word of the Lord came to David, the Lord granted him that humble, repentant spirit. When by the prophet Gad that word came, David said, "I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the sin of mine, the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." Yet the Lord, mercy was upon David, but yet that chastening hand, the judgments of God, the consequences were there. We read of the destroying angel going forth. And the angel came to Jerusalem to destroy it. But there we see, as we read in the Epistle to the Romans, where sin abounded, much more grace abounded. Sin abounding of grace and mercy. Where the Lord's hand was stayed. That angel stood, as it were. David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heavens, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. And David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. David again gave that even deeper expression of sin. Repentance. The angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Now we read of the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite in 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build in the second day of the second month in the fourth year of his reign. Here it was revealed unto David This is the house of the Lord God, the place where the temple was to be built, the place where the ark, the covenant was to rest, where the Holy of Holies was to be, where the brazen altar was to rest. This is the house of the Lord God. Let us consider, as we look in Scripture, those, as it were, true signs that it's the house of God. And I trust that we may know here those signs that this is the house of God, not just a place with bricks and mortar, a place with a sign that says chapel outside, but the house of God. The hymns, hymn 884, expresses it so concisely and rightly. But what is the house to me, unless the master I can see? Truly the house of the Lord, we need the Lord to be there. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. For indeed, what is the house except the Lord be here? Lest the Lord we see by faith. We do not see the Lord with the natural eye, but by faith to see him and his glory, his power, his majesty, his fullness. The fullness resides in Jesus, our head. So seeking to speak a little this morning, for it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. God manifest in the flesh, the glories of the divine nature, and the glories of the human nature of the eternal Son of God, mighty to save, yet so tender, so compassionate, the friend of sinners, the shepherd of the sheep, the helper of the helpless. Thus, when we come to the house of God, it should be the Lord that we seek above all. I know how tempting it can be. Yes, we'll meet our friends there. And yes, it is true, we should desire. It should be a desire that, yes, should be the place with our best friends. But yet, one above all others deserves the name of friend. To seek ye first our Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. We're going to come to the house of the Lord and desire to hear a particular minister speak, but have we come to hear the word of the Lord? We may come to enjoy to sing the hymns, the music perhaps. I was caught up in that snare for years in the Church of England, but I was worshipping the music, not the Lord. Seeking the sounds of the music rather than the true spiritual sound of the gospel and the voice of the Good Shepherd. But this is the house of the Lord God. What do we find in the house? Firstly, the presence of the Master. And that abounding of grace and mercy upon sinners. We first read of Moriah, Mount Moriah, which is the place of the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. We read of that in Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, that is to try, Satan tries, as it were, to see if we will follow him. That's not the same as the Lord's trying, proving. The Lord tries or proves whether we will follow him, follow the Lord. So it was for Abraham that God did tempt Abraham, or try him, test him, prove him, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Lead us to the place where there must be a sacrifice. We see with Abraham, he rose up early. What faith! There was true faith. How it must have tried his heart. There was the son of the promise, Isaac. And now the Lord was commanding him to offer him up. But as it were, he put his hand into the hand of the Lord in humble submission. In whatever strait or difficulty or great calling or perplexity or great trouble, there is one place that is safe, and that is in the Lord's way, in the Lord's hand, trusting in the Lord. If ever we've come to a place where we frankly know not what to do, there's only one place, only one to trust in. It is the Lord and none else. Where should we turn? When we come to that point, to whom else can we go? Shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That place where others have perhaps have turned away. Days of reproach, days of disappointment, days of trouble, days when many shaken, but there is one that is unshakable, the rock, Christ Jesus. There is such a safety in turning to the word of the Lord, in turning unto the scriptures, to turning unto to Christ, who is the word. That way of safety. If we are, as it were, beside ourselves as to what we should do, let us follow the scriptures, and then we are safe. Following by faith, following, leaning upon our beloved, there is safety. We do well to come into the house of the Lord and to seek unto the Lord himself, trusting him. Though we cannot see that right way yet, and we trust in him. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But to return to Abraham, he rose up early. There was no delay. There was no making of excuses. No seeking to avoid the commandment of God. Saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. What faith! There he was given that faith to believe that he and Isaac would return. In that inspired commentary in the New Testament, speaks of Abraham believing that God would raise up Isaac from the dead. There was that faith, that belief in the resurrection, that he would receive Isaac again alive and would come, he would worship and come again. And it was the third day that he saw the mount, the holy mount. In the minor prophets, in a couple of places in Joel and Obadiah concerning the mountain about deliverance. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. As the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Obadiah, again, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Upon Mount Zion, deliverance. Zion and Mount Moriah, those two mounts that were together, now it is Jerusalem. There, when Abraham saw the mount on the third day, there he could utter such words of faith, trusting in the Lord, that the Lord would grant life and deliverance. The third day. It's no coincidence it was the third day. It's the third day that our Lord rose from the dead. The third day that the disciples' weeping was turned into joy. The third day that their confusion was utterly driven away. We read of the two on the road to Emmaus, how they reasoned among themselves. They couldn't come to any proper conclusion. As it were, their hope seemed to have died. Seemed to have gone. They were going away from Jerusalem. They were going down, away from the holy mount, as it were. And then Jesus drew nigh and went with them, spake with them. What an occasion that was, when the Lord expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, and their hearts burnt within them. And the Lord revealed himself unto them. And they saw it was Jesus. And what joy and strength was given unto them. Although the day was far spent and they were evidently tired, the day was ending, they needed to find a place to rest for the night. But when they'd seen Jesus, what strength was given to them. Though they must return immediately that very hour to Jerusalem, to the holy city, to tell of the Lord. Jesus is, the Lord is risen indeed. Indeed, the other disciples, the Lord had appeared unto them likewise that very day, and to Mary Magdalene. What joy filled their hearts. The resurrection power. We speak of Abraham's faith. What about the faith of Isaac? That he should submit. Surely as a strong young man, he could easily have overpowered his elderly father. Yet he likewise followed in submission the word of the Lord. There was that fellowship together. As we know the account here, that as Abraham was about to plunge the knife into his son to kill him, the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven, called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing as thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead that is in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will see, or the Lord will provide. As it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Well, we come into the house of the Lord, and come and seek the Lord in faith. Is it not the case? Some of us can testify of it, that when we come into the house of the Lord, then we have seen things that we never saw before. We've seen the Lord's hand as we've never seen before. We've seen those things that we couldn't see with a natural eye. Asaph, who'd been looking with a natural eye upon the prosperity of the wicked, and all their prospering, all their proudness, all their pride, and their sin, yet they were continuing in it, and he, plagued, troubled. But when he came into the sanctuary, the house of the Lord, there he saw two things. Firstly, the end of the wicked, that in a moment they should be, as it were, swept away. But he also saw the Lord and the blessed prospect of those who put their trust in him. He saw that the Lord was ever with him. He saw those blessings that awaited the faithful, those redeemed by the blood, and saw all those things that the wicked had was but as nothing, as chaff to the wind, to be burnt up, to evaporate. But saw the solidity and the glory of the treasures, the riches in Christ. And Abraham and Isaac, yeah, they saw in that ram that was offered up in the place, in the stead of Isaac, there was a beautiful type of Christ. He laid down his life in the place of his beloved people, the elect of God, out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. Why was the ram caught by the horns in a thicket? Well, if it was caught by like the leg, or it would have been torn. That which was torn was not to be offered up as a sacrifice unto the Lord, but by the horns. Thus, that ram would have been, as it were, entire, not blemished, or torn, or damaged. Indeed, we see that another type of Christ, so pure and holy, the pure and holy Lamb of God, that shed his precious blood, that sinners, vile sinners, should be set free, should live, and should return. And no doubt Abraham and Isaac gave that testimony. They did return again and worship. Worship and return again. And we give that testimony to those with them and around them of the goodness and grace of the Lord. So here was the place that David said, this is the house of the Lord God. That place of a sacrifice. That place, well, that phrase vicarious sacrifice. Vicarious means in the place of, in the stead of. The Lord Jesus Christ offered himself in the place of his church, bore the just and righteous wrath of God the Father on account of sin. This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. The fire in which the sacrifice was consumed. It speaks of the consuming wrath, the burning wrath, righteous indignation of God on account of sin. Indeed, in the tabernacle there was no approach unto the the holy place or the most holy place without passing by the brazen altar. They must go past there to come to the place of the altar of incense or to the Holy of Holies. And thus we must pass by that place, as it were. We must know that sacrifice for sin, that suffering that our Lord Jesus Christ went through in measure. No man can truly fathom a fraction, and some are given a clearer sight than others. But remember this, that in the wilderness, when the children of Israel had murmured, sinned, the Lord had sent those fiery serpents to bite them, and many were dying and had died. And the Lord commanded Moses to make a serpent of brass and to lift it up, and to bid the Israelites to look and live, and all that looked, they lived. Didn't matter whether they saw the serpent very close up, because they were there with Moses and Aaron and only a few yards away and saw it so clearly, or whether those of that great company at a great distance and only saw it indistinctly. But all that looked lived. And never let Satan cheat you. When he tries to say, well, you haven't had a clear enough sight of Christ's sufferings. You haven't had a clear enough sight of your deliverance. Others have had a clearer sight than you. Well, in the wilderness that day, and it is true of Christ, who was lifted up, as it were, upon the cross, that all that look by faith shall live. It's not a matter of how clear you see it all, or whether it's only almost indistinctly, but yet all that look live. That is such a beautiful truth. This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. So we see at that place the house of God, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord shall see, or the Lord will provide. The word signifies both. Well, the Lord sees. We come to the Lord's house and lay our distress, our trouble, our needs before Him. The Lord will see. This is the Lord's house. This is the house of the Lord God. Well, the woman who was a sinner came to Jesus. And Simon the Pharisee said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman this was that touched him, for she is a sinner. Suddenly her life was a scandalous one. The Pharisees didn't seem to think very much about inward sins, but that which was outward. Evidently a life that was of public scandal and reproof. But the Lord knew that this woman was a sinner, knew all about her sins, but also saw that she had come seeking Him in repentance, seeking Him for mercy, and she received mercy. The publican that came to the temple, to the house of the Lord, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord saw. And the Lord provided. The Lord provided a lamb. Provided the shed blood. Provided the righteousness. The Lord, He provides all. the Pharisee who was full and had no need. He received nothing. But others that come with our needs, our impossibilities. Yet, well, we can testify how the word of the Lord came in the house of the Lord. We've had to prove the power of God. That which was seemingly impossible, that which was impossible with man, it was possible with God. And the word of the Lord was true. The call of Almighty God. Some of us have come to the house of the Lord, and that has been spoken, which was, I say, a surprise. We were not expecting. It was that call of Almighty God. Yet it was such a call of power that we could not get round it, under it, over it, through it. We must walk in it. On those desperate needs that we have. We cannot deliver ourselves from sin, from temptation, or from some other matter in such desperate need. Yeah, we come into the house of the Lord, and the Lord sees, and the Lord provides. The Lord most graciously answers prayer in the name of his dear Son, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Then we have another reference, although not physically at Moriah, but at another place in Israel, Bethel. And Jacob comes to Bethel. Well, it was called Luz or Luz before. There was Jacob, supplanter, deceiver, liar. And he was on his way to Haran, to the family, his mother's family. And we read, he went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep, and he dreamed. There the Lord spake unto him in that dream. Nothing is mentioned here about Jacob praying or seeking the Lord, but the Lord called, the Lord came. Perhaps some of us that have come to the house of God, and we come to the house of God with no prayer whatsoever, no desire after him, but the Lord has spoken, and we've left the place a different person. Another, there's been that, so that new life within, a new desire. As we come to the house of God without any awareness of our sin, but we've left utterly condemned, pricked in our conscience. We come to the house of God with no desire to follow the Lord, but we've left with that sense, feeling of his love and his grace and his mercy, and we've been constrained. We must, for love's sake, follow him. But here, Jacob, he came to that point, that place, and the Lord spake, the Lord appeared. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. There in that vision, that figure of Christ, with a ladder, from earth to heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the one mediator between earth and heaven. He didn't see lots of ladders. There was a ladder, one ladder. And he didn't go part of the way. Like some gospels will have, you go part of the way. You have to go part of the way. Or as it were, perhaps I should say to, I should say rather, the ladder didn't stretch all the way. Perhaps you have to jump up to get onto it. Do something of your own to get there. Or it's a ladder that only goes so far and doesn't reach all the way. I don't know whether any of us have done it or fallen off a ladder, but a ladder that's too short. Only go part way, trying to overreach ourselves. Most dangerous. But this ladder, it reached to heaven. Set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. There's no shortfall there. No need to try and make up the jump onto it. That work of redemption and mediation by our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, complete, perfect. The angels of God ascending and descending. That through Christ, our prayers, all prayers, perfumed by his perfect intercession, in his precious name, they ascend up to heaven. And through Christ, those blessings are brought down. But it's through Christ, the angels of God, ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Clearly a reference not just to the natural children of Israel, but through that he was to be part of that lineage that should come to the Saviour, Jesus Christ, whom all the families of the earth should be blessed. We read concerning the house of the Lord in 2 Chronicles 22. That in verse 5, and David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be built of the Lord must be exceeding magnifical of fame and of glory throughout all countries. Like as we read here, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In Christ, the precious gospel to all nations. That number whom our Lord died out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. And behold, I am with thee. Yes, the house of the Lord, a place where the Lord is with his people, not against them. If God be for us, who can be against us? The Lord reveals himself to be Emmanuel, God with us. There may be many against us. Jacob, and one later said, all these things are against me. But we come to the house of the Lord, and there is revealed to us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Maybe those against us, devils against us, circumstances against us, those at work or at school, or even the family, against us. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Emmanuel, God with us. And behold, I am with thee. And I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee. And the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Or precious words of comfort we hear in the house of the Lord God. I will not leave thee until I've done that which I've spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. There was an awakening. Jacob was not the same Jacob that put his head down upon those pillows of stone. Here is a clear evidence of a new birth, work of the Spirit within. He was afraid, and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Here is the fear of the Lord." This is the house of the Lord God. And we come into the house of God. Most especially, there should be that reverence and godly fear. It's one thing that is perhaps one of the most grieving things to me in the ministry, is on occasions, and sadly too many occasions, as one views the congregation in certain services or certain members of the congregation, there is evidently a lack of reverence. A lack of godly, most evident. Even to the point I've had people in the congregation left my face while I've been preaching in the house of the Lord. Well, if there's the work of the Lord, we see here he was afraid. There's godly fear and reverence for the place. And he said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." It wasn't a dreadful blackness of darkness, like Judas Iscariot went out and hung himself. Yes, there was a dread, a godly fear, but yet there's hope. This is the gate of heaven. He'd seen in that vision the Lord Jesus Christ, "I am the door, that way." There's none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Oh, what blessings we despise that are set forth in God's word if we come in that irreverent way to the house of God. The Lord is not mocked. God is not mocked. "Them that honour me, I will honour." And God's word is true. The promises in Christ Jesus are yea and amen. Indeed, the warnings of Almighty God in his word, they are sure as well. The last word in the Bible, amen. It is certain, it is sure, as the word means in Hebrew. Just borrowed into Greek, but it means it is certain. Sure. The promises are sure. What wonderful promises there are. The judgment's sure. The warnings are sure. We cannot trifle with Almighty God. And we should never trifle with the house of God and the church of God and the profession of his name. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. How wonderful it is where a door opens in heaven. We see that gate, that door open. Whereas there was, as it were, that wall of separation between us and a holy God. Us a sinner, God holy. But then we see that way. That door opens, that gate opens, that way. Christ Jesus. A way of mercy and a way of grace. Truly then, it's a place of rejoicing, place of setting up our testimony. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. There was that testimony raised up by his own hands to testify, to record, this is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. What mercy and grace had he received? What promises he had received? And truly they were tried. We think of the trials he went through with Laban. And then that deepest of trial when he had to meet Esau, who was coming to him with 400 men. Yet the Lord delivered him. the Lord delivered him out of all his troubles and brought him safely to the promised land. Indeed, there were those other troubles concerning those in his family, concerning Joseph, Benjamin, but yet the Lord delivered him. God is faithful. This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. Now we have another who came to the house of the Lord, this time that high place, Gibeon, when the Ark of the Testimony was yet with the tabernacle. We read of that in 1 Samuel. There was Hannah coming into the house of the Lord, the house of God. There she was much grieved, provoked by her adversary. She was childless, but she came to the house of the Lord, and the Lord answered her prayer. The Lord granted her petition. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Indeed, what a low place the house of the Lord had come to, that such things might have been expected in the house of God. Indeed, what a low place it was that the sons of Eli should have done such vile things with the women that resorted to the house of God. That they should have shown such greed for the thing, for not satisfied with the portion that the Lord had given them. But they must have it, and they must have it now, and you can read virtually those words. They were not content with the Lord's portion. They wanted what they wished to have, and well, the Lord's judgment was poured out upon them and upon the heathen. And indeed, Eli, though a child of God, had not reproved his sons as he should have done. How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. This is the house of the Lord God. She poured out her soul before the Lord, and the Lord answered her prayer. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. For God, nothing shall be impossible. This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. Place of the mercy seat. The place where the ark, that which so gloriously sets forth in figure the Lord Jesus Christ. Place of the sacrifice, the place where the blood was sprinkled, the place where the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Oh, may we indeed know this blessing, the house of the Lord God. Emmanuel, Jesus, the Lord with us. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £665, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Parrish next Lord's Day, who will, God willing, address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And the collections today are for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. Let us close with hymn 913. 'Tis the gospel's joyful tidings, full salvation sweetly sounds, grace to heal thy fell backslidings, sinner, flows from Jesus' wounds. Hymn 913.
Thank you.
grant us thy blessing and thy favour as we part. Look in mercy upon that which has been amiss, that which has been spoken amiss. But, O Lord, do bless thine own word. Do grant us that preservation and safety this night in returning to our homes. O Lord, we may not be forgetful hearers. O Lord, that thy word may enter in to our hearts with power and be shown forth in our lives. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.